The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with the Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Today we're going to talk about GMOs, genetically modified organism. I feel like the average person has heard about GMOs, but knowing what GMOs are, the science behind GMOs, and what they do to our bodies all are really important to know. You know, we have the saying, you are what you eat. And if what you eat has its genes, it's literally genetic makeup modified, what does that do to your genes? Right, so we're going to go a little bit into detail. If you've never heard about Maximize Your Life, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, more specifically our office. So we are a full family wellness-based office. We look at the body as a whole. And so when we talk about what we do is we really look at five essentials. Maximize mind, maximize nutrition, oxygen and lean muscle, detoxification, and nervous system, right? Like the most important thing, your brain, stem, and spinal cord are what control everything in your life. But it's been really awesome that we have had some excellent testimonies that have happened over the last. We had talked several weeks ago about a patient. I talked to a patient who had Meniere's. So ringing in the ears, severe vertigo. And when I asked him to come on, I said, hey, you never know how far reaching your story is. And he said, okay. So he came on, shared, you know, awesome testimony, literally changed his life, his time with family, his ability to work, everything. He's just, you know, it's night and day difference. After seeing tons of doctors, going through tons of therapy, and that week, there was a gentleman, literally the day after he did the testimony, a gentleman came in and said, I have Meniere's. And I was like, did you listen to my radio show by chance? And he said, no, why should I? And I was like, well, yeah, absolutely. And so following his first adjustment, he said he could hear better than he could in 20 years. And so when you look at how amazing the human body is, oh, and then I had another patient too. I should have him come on the radio, honestly. I'll ask. He'll probably come on here in the next couple weeks. Just wait. I'm not going to share his name yet until I figure out if he'll come on and he's comfortable. But came in and is in his like early 40s and walked in with a cane. And he said, yep, my back went out again. I said, well, what happened? He said, well, I was walking from carpet to tile. And I was like, that's what did it to you? But has been under care for a couple months now and said that one eye was nearsighted, one eye was farsighted. And so his doctors always struggled to really get him to work with 20/20 vision. And he had seen his eye doctor for the first time in several months. And she said that for the first time in years, his vision improved. You know, so when you're looking at these things, like, would you ever come into my office and be like, hey, can you give me the visual improvement adjustment, or hey, give me the Meniere's adjustment, or, you know, hey, give me the high blood pressure adjustment, or give me the constipation adjustment. And the answer is we don't have any specific adjustments. All we do is look at the nervous system, your central nervous system, see where there's interference, and our goal is to remove that interference. You are made to be 100%. And so if there's something that's not allowing for your body to be at 100%, is it a nutritional deficiency? Is it a, you know, heavy metal toxicity overload? Is it something that your nervous system, your central nervous system, isn't functioning because you have a disc herniation, right, osteoarthritis, a loss of curvature in your neck, unlevel pelvis? What is it that we can look at removing that interference so it allows for your body to restore and heal at that 100% God-given potential? You are made whole. You are made 100%, and you deserve to live that way. Right? And so that's really what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, is just figuring out what that is and how we can help facilitate that most. That's really what we are. So before we dive deeper into GMOs, though, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's Health in the News, comes from New York Times. The New York Times: the risk of the prescribing cascade. It's a very interesting article. So the risk of the prescribing cascade. So the problem occurs when drug-induced side effects are viewed as new ailments and treated with yet another drug that can cause still other side effects. So the medical mistake that befell an 87-year-old mother of North Carolina pharmacist should not happen to anyone. And my hopes of this column, this is the writer, this isn't me speaking, will keep you and your loved ones from experiencing similar all too common mishaps. So as a pharmacist, her name was Kim DeRhodes of Charlotte, North Carolina, recalled it all began when her mother went to the emergency room 2 weeks after a fall because she had lingering pain in her back and her buttocks. She was told she had sciatica, and the elderly woman was prescribed prednisone and a muscle relaxer. 3 days later, she became delirious, returned to the ER, was admitted to the hospital, and was discharged 2 days later when her drug-induced delirium resolved. A few weeks later, stomach pain prompted a third trip to the ER and a prescription for an antibiotic and a proton pump inhibitor, acid reflux. Within a month, she developed severe diarrhea lasting several days. Back to the ER, and this time she was given a prescription for dicyclamine to relieve intestinal spasms, which triggered about another bout of delirium and 3 more days in the hospital. She was discharged after lab tests and imaging revealed nothing abnormal. Mr. Rhodes wrote in a Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine, "Review of my mother's case highlights separate but associated problems, likely misdiagnosis and inappropriate prescribing of medication. Diagnostic errors led us to the use of prescription drugs that were not indicated and caused my mother further harm. The muscle relaxers and prednisone led to the first incidents of delirium. Prednisone led to the gastrointestinal issues, and the antibiotic led to the diarrhea, which led to prescribing of dicyclamine, which then led to the second incident of delirium. The doctor who wrote the woman's prescription apparently never consulted the Beers criteria, a list created by the American Geriatric Society of drugs, often unsafe for elderly." Right? So this is something interesting. It's called Beers, B-E-R-S, Beers, like criteria. So it's a list created by American Geriatric Society of drugs, often unsafe for elderly. So if you have an elderly loved one, that might be something to look at or reference with your physician. In short, Mr. Rhodes' mother was a victim of two medical problems that are too often overlooked by examining doctors and unrecognized by families. The first is giving an 87-year-old medication known to be unsafe for the elderly. The second is a costly and often frightening medical-induced condition called a prescribing cascade. that starts with drug-induced side effects, which are then viewed as new ailments and treated with yet another drug or drugs that can cause still other side effects. She said, I'd like to think that none of this would have happened if instead of going to the ER, the older woman had seen her primary care doctor, but experts told this woman that no matter where patients are treated, that they're not immune to getting caught in a prescribing cascade. The problem also happens to people who self-treat with over-the-counter or herbal remedies. Nor is it limited to elderly. Young people can also be victim to this too. Doctors are often taught to think of everything as a new problem. This is so important. Doctors are often taught to think of everything as a new problem. Dr. Timothy Anderson, an internalist at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston, they have to start thinking about whether the patient is on a medication and whether that medication is a problem. Doctors are good at prescribing and not so good at deprescribing. Amen to that. And a lot of the times, patients are given a prescription without trying something else first. A popular treatment for high blood pressure, which afflicts a huge portion of the older population, is a common problem of the prescribing cascade, he said. He cited a Canadian study of 41,000 older adults with hypertension who were prescribed a drug called calcium channel blockers. Within a year after treatment began, nearly one out of every 10 was given a diuretic to treat leg swelling caused by the first drug. Many were inappropriately prescribed a so-called loop diuretic that Dr. Anderson said could result in dehydration, kidney problems, lightheadedness, and falls. Type 2 diabetes is another common condition in which medication is improperly prescribed to treat drug-induced side effects. Recognizing a side effect for what it is can be hampered when the effect doesn't happen for weeks or months after a drug is started. While patients taking opioids for pain may readily recognize constipation as a consequence, patients taking metformin for diabetes can develop diarrhea and may self-treat with loperamide, which in turn can cause dizziness and confusion. They also found another doctor working with elderly patients said taking a drug called cholinesterase inhibitors to treat early dementia can develop urinary incontinence, which is then treated with another drug that can actually worsen the patient's confusion. Older adults frequently take many medication, with two-fifths taking five or more. Dr. Anderson wrote in the Journal of American Medical Association Internal Medicine. Before accepting a prescription, she recommends that patients or their caregivers should ask the doctor a series of questions, starting with, am I expecting a symptom that could be a side effect of a drug I'm taking? Followed up questions should include, is this new drug being used to treat a side effect? Is a safer drug available than one I'm taking? Could I take a lower dose of the prescribed drug? Most importantly, the doctor says, patients should ask, do I need to take this drug at all? For some patients, frequent use of a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug sold over the counter, an NSAID, like ibuprofen or naproxen, is responsible for their elevated blood pressure. The risk of getting caught in a prescribing cascade is increased when a patient are prescribed medication by more than one provider. Right? Like, so I think those are good questions to ask. One, the only person who's responsible for your health is you. It's not your doctor. It's not your insurance company. You are the only person responsible for your health. And so when you look at, you have to be your biggest advocate. Are you asking these questions? Is a medication that you or your loved one on something that is needed, or is it part of the prescribing cascade? And if you have a doctor that is all for prescribing and is not even entertaining deprescribing, then you have to evaluate, is that practitioner the right one for you? We don't prescribe any medication to you at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. We don't put you on it. We don't take you off of it, right? But your job is to get with your PCP and figure out, is this something that you need to be on? Is this something that's taken because it's a primary, or have you or your loved ones been caught in the risk of the prescribing cascade? Now, when we return, what are GMOs and what do they do?
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. Now, GMOs, what are they? So the actual definition of what a GMO is a GMO stands for a genetically modified organism, right? GMO, genetically modified organisms. So what are they actually? So the actual definition is a living organism whose genetic material has been artificially manipulated in a laboratory through genetic engineering. So they talk about how plants or animals whose cells have been inserted with a gene from an unrelated species in order to take on specific characteristics. As a result of a laboratory process where genes from the DNA of one species are artificially forced into the genes of an unrelated plant or animal. I once heard that GMOs mean God move over, which I think is funny because, you know, literally what they're saying is they're extracting cells and genes from a totally unrelated species and inserting it into another plant or animal in order for it to take on specific characteristics. They're literally human is going in and physically changing the genetic makeup of our plants and animals. Interesting. So what's the big debate? So the reason why they would do this, right? So why would you go in and modify the gene? So for the most part, genetic modification, when it first came out, as promised to revolutionize crops and farming, right? So they said, hey, you know, we have all of these weeds. Well, instead of spraying all of these weeds with BT, which is one of the active ingredients in glyphosate Roundup, it would kill the plant too. So why don't we, there's a couple things we can do, right? Let's make it so this plant is immune, quote unquote, immune, if you will, to that pesticide. So they can spray everything and you can spray it on the other, like the actual crop that you want, but it won't kill it. The other thing we can do is we can put the BT inside of a cell, right? So then that way we're going to genetically modify it. So we don't actually have to spray it at all. What we can do is it'll just be inside of the plant. So then that way bugs won't want to eat it. They said that they were going to genetically modify crops to be drought resistant. All right. So farmers would, the yield on their crop would go up. They said it would double to quadruple their intake of crops. Right. So they say, hey, you can grow it 2 to 4 times as fast, which means your yield is going to be exponentially more. They also, you know, same concept. I know that there was, it was called, wait, man, what was it called? It was like aqua salmon, aqua something. But it was a salmon that they actually genetically modified. And they said, hey, no big deal. We'll just make it so instead of having farmed raised salmon, that say, and I'm like 100% throwing numbers out there, I have no idea, but say you said, hey, you have salmon roe, little fish eggs, and in order for that to come to fruition to a salmon that you can cut open, fillet, and have salmon fillets from a farm raise is 0 to 45 days. What if we could make it so that breast is twice as big and it only took you 25 days, right? Like, as a producer, you would think that that's awesome, right? So there's all of these thought processes about how great and awesome, and in theory, this genetic modification is great. Here's a lot of the problem when it comes to the average person has no idea how much they're eating. So, for example, wheat itself has been consumed by humans for thousands of years. It wasn't until the mid-20th century that it was hybridized. I conversation with someone just the other day. It was hybridized to dwarf varieties, less expensive crop to grow. Unfortunately, the protein composition of the wheat also fertilization process. And so why modern wheat contains a variety of only one is recognized by some people and the others are allergens to them. I had this conversation of like the Bible talks about wheat all the time, right? Breaking bread and wheat. And I said, the wheat is so different. It's hybridization that they're looking at. And so when you're looking at these structures, the problem is especially with like BT, there are literally animals that will, bugs more specifically, that will eat this plant and its stomachs will be sliced open and explode. The bug dies. And we can't figure out why we have such an increase in digestive issues, why we have such an increase in food activities and food. Looking at some of trying to for this because thought process that this could save, we're not done. And I was trying to look for more recent studies. So one that I actually found from Environmental Sciences of Europe, this journal was published in 2017. So it talks about the possible health impacts of BT toxin and residue from spraying with complementary herbicides in genetically engineered soybeans and risk assessment as performed by the European Food Safety Authorities, the EFSA, which is kind of the FDA, but European. But really what they had talked about is that in the conclusion of this study was that the issues raised also concerned other genetically engineered plants that expressed insecticidal proteins and engineered to be resistant to herbicide chemicals or have the two traits combined. They said, generally, the concept of the comparative risk assessments needs some major revision. And so they go on to talk about how it's not detailed about the long-term effects from the residue in terms of human consumption. It talks about how the impact on gene expression and plant composition. So, and how it's a lack of events to be able to display a high degree of complexity due to possible interactions. So this is one of the reasons why you look at why is this banned in so many other countries. You have to think our safety protocol in the United States for food is sad at best. Like, it's so sad. And here's what really makes you think. Because there's a lot of people with a lot of money out there that don't want you to know what's in your food, right? And you might say, hey, that's a thought process. I don't believe that. Is that a conspiracy theory? And I will tell you that it is not. So a bill passed in 2016 that limited your rights to know whether GMO lurked in your food. I remember this and watching it thinking, oh my gosh, this could be it. Like, we will actually know if our food is genetically modified, right? The higher ups at the time were like, oh my gosh, you deserve to know what's in your food. But when push comes to shove, here's what happens. So really, a lot of the people who were in on this were the biggest spenders, companies that heavily depended on high fructose corn syrup, vegetable oils, and other GMO ingredients. The six large companies, Coke, Pepsi, Kraft, Kellogg, Land O'Lakes, and General Mills, right? So those six companies encompass, if you buy something that's in a box off of a store, right? Because we just think of Coke and Pepsi of like soda products, and you're absolutely wrong. Look at what those, if you buy something in a box, the likelihood of it coming from those six, if conventional six makers, is, I mean, probably 95% is from a company, one of those companies. Those six companies spent at least $12.6 million lobbying against GMO labeling laws. In 2015 alone, the whole industry spent $192 million to defeat the GMO labeling bill. If you don't have anything to hide and it's not going to affect your well-being, why would you ever spend almost $200 million to defeat one bill? Right? Like, when you look at the magnitude of that, because I didn't want you to know what's in your food. It's crazy to think about. And in 2016, they said, hey, you as a consumer don't deserve to know if your food has seen its genetic makeup change. So the hard part is, it's really hard to avoid GMO if you're eating conventional. About 92% of all of corn that's grown in the United States has been on acreage that has been genetically modified. So common GMO crops that you'll find, corn is probably the most. And we think about corn as like corn on the cob, right? Or like canned corn. But when you look at what they use corn for, oh my goodness gracious, the types of, you know, cereals. That's probably the first one that comes to mind, kids' cereals. They looked at Cheerios, right? Cheerios. And in terms of genetic modification and the amount of glyphosate, which is a pesticide and herbicide, like, we can't figure out why our kids are so sick. Canola, used in producing canola oil. So anytime you're consuming canola oil, that's likely genetically modified. Soybeans, potatoes, apples, rice, Hawaiian papayas, plums, sugar beets, tomatoes, and squash. Those are the most common that you're looking for. So when you look, in March of 2015, a European Commission rule was passed that gave countries in the EU, the European Union, the option to opt out of growing genetically modified crops. There are 19 countries in Europe that opted out, prohibiting the biotech companies from selling GMO seeds in their territory. They include Germany, France, Italy, Austria, Greece, Poland, Scotland, Northern Ireland, Belgium, among many others. Also banning GMOs are several countries in Africa. There is Saudi Arabia, Turkey, multiple others in Asia, Belize, Peru, Ecuador, Venezuela, the Southern Americans, all have banned. Because you want to know what they said? We don't know if it's safe. Is it safe? Like, can you show me something? Majority, I think it's like 95 to 90%. 7% of these genetic modifications are produced in the United States. And these countries said, show me it's safe. And what they said is what we'll talk about next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne. My power's turned on. Starting right now, I'll be strong. I'll put my lights on. And I don't
to GMO or to not GMO? That is the question for today. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853, or you can always look us up online. We also have a Facebook page. Facebook is just Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Our email is info@greenwoodfamilychiropractic, and our website is greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. So when in doubt, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Today, we are speaking on the topic of GMOs, genetically modified organisms, also laughably called God move over, GMO, because what they're doing is they're literally going in and altering the genetic makeup of plants and animals. So, is that problematic? And the answer would be, that's a good question, right? Like, is it problematic? And so it has been, genetic modifications have been banned in dozens of countries, dozens across the world. As the United States, we still feel like it is going to save the planet. And yet, the problem with that is when you look at a genetic modification, there is obviously a lot of science that goes into that. And so oftentimes when these different countries and their food safety boards said, do you have research, right? Because we as the United States say, hey, oh my goodness, I just have to tell you, I have the greatest, best thing that's come. It's going to save your entire country. We're going to end third world hunger. You're not even going to believe how great this is. And these countries are like, so great. Can't wait. Do you have some research? Like, do you have anything that kind of like tells us, you know, it's safe that we as humans are consuming plants and animals that their genes have been genetically modified? Like, what does it do to our genes? And here's what these companies, because it's a company that does this, right? It's not the United States itself. It's a company within the United States, for example, Monsanto. And they say, hey, Monsanto, can I just see your safety? Can I see your safety studies? And they're like, oh, yeah, safety studies. They're safe. And they're like, okay, well, if you just want to like give us that, like we can do our own safety studies. Like what? Let us figure out if it's safe. And they said, oh, no. Well, we can't do that because that genetic modification, it's patented. And so since I have, it's patent protected, you can't know like what specific gene is being modified or, you know, we'll just give you the generalities of it. And just wait, we will produce some research that lets you know this is totally safe for your people to consume. And they're like, what? So like, imagine if I'm like, hey, I really need some research studies that said this is safe. And it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to get, you can't do your own research study. I'll just produce them for you. Like, that's not biased at all. So here is some interesting studies that were posted from the EU, right? So a study published in the Environmental Science of Europe journal found severe liver and kidney damage, hormonal disturbances, and large cancerous tumors in rats that were fed GMO maize corn in conjunction with low levels of Roundup. Other studies have linked GMO feed to enlarged uteri and and severe stomach inflammation in pigs. These and other studies have concluded that GMOs need more research before they are accepted as safe. The Genetic Literary Project challenges that independent science and organization in every nation have made statements that GMOs are safe. The nations that are banning the cultivation of GMOs are not doing so because of the science, but instead warning because of to avoid the controversy. Right? They basically said, like, let's just see if it's safe because everything that I said says it caused hormonal disruption. And you look at all the hormone-based cancers we have now, you said, hey, liver and kidney damage, cancerous tumors, like you look at in the United States, what, one in two men and one in three women will be diagnosed with cancer in their lifetime. But yet we say totally, I mean, don't look, right? And we have the highest rate of cancers. Like, so can we say that correlation is causation? Absolutely not. But when you look at something like that, you're like, okay, so if we know that it causes cancerous tumors in mice, and they say, well, that's mice, that's not human. Well, show me the research with humans, right? Like, imagine someone says, hey, I want you to be part of a research study. We're going to genetically modify all of your food, eat it, and see if you get cancer, hormonal disturbances, or your internal organs shut down. You'd be like, that's totally not ethical. But they're like, hey, nope, just cover your eyes. It's totally safe. This is going to end third world hunger. And the United States says, not only are we going to have it, you also don't get to write the right to know. They're not labeled in the United States. No big deal. So what do you do, right? Like, besides crawl in a hole, like, what do you do? And so there are some different projects. So one is the non-GMO project. You have, if you ever shop in like the wellness or organic section, you have likely seen this non-GMO project stamp of approval. It is a light blue and dark blue. It says non-GMO product. It's like a little check mark. It's a green check mark. It looks like a leaf almost, and it's got a butterfly on it. So the non-GMO project is a mission-driven nonprofit organization dedicated to building and protecting a non-GMO food supply. So when I'm in the grocery store, when I am looking for a product, if I see that my options are something with or without the non-GMO stamp of approval, I will choose the product that is non-GMO product. I mean, I've shared with you guys before, I have little kids. And so you think about, what is it like, especially, you know, the first several years of life, that you're saying, hey, we are going to feed you food that is genetically modified while your body is growing and thriving and, right? Like, come on, that's crazy. It really, truly is crazy to think about. This is what we've come to. Like, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. One other thing that you can look at besides the non-GMO project seal of approval is that this is honestly where it starts to come in, that it's important to eat organic. It is something that we choose for our family. So why? So the use of genetic engineering or genetically modified organisms is actually prohibited in organic products. So this means an organic farmer can't plant GMO seeds, or a cow can't eat GMO alfalfa or corn, and organic soup producers can't use any GMO ingredients. So in order to meet the USDA organic regulations, farmers and processors must show that they aren't using GMOs and that they are protecting their product from contact with prohibited substances, such as GMOs, in their products. So it is one for us, like, is there a difference in some regards in the other from a cost perspective? And the answer, honestly, is sometimes. And in other times, it's not an exorbitant amount, right? Do we spend more on food probably than the average person? And the answer to that very candidly is yes, we do. And because quality of food is really important. What I put into my body, the fuel that I give my cells, what I feed my children to set up, you know, people say, oh my goodness, you know, heart disease, cancer runs in our family. And research finds that when you look at these degenerative diseases, 2-5% of these degenerative diseases are genetic, which means that 95-98% are lifestyle. something has to turn on in that on and off that gene expression, right? So when I look at my kids and I want to set them up for the best cells they can possibly have for the rest of their life, I'm going to make the better choice. And yes, I do have to budget. And yes, I do spend more at the grocery store. But this is one where we might spend more in groceries, but we're going to spend less elsewhere, right? Like, you have to start investing in your health at some point. And this is one, as a family, that is very important to us. You are what you eat. What are you putting in your body? Is it genetically modified? What's the research on it? And do you know what is in it? Do you have that right? And so it's just really affirming to yourself that you have the knowledge, you have the power. You have to start making those changes, regardless if you're 5, if you're 35, if you're 65, or if you're 95. I'll wrap up and share this with you. We had a patient recently who was referred into the office from another great patient. And this patient's 83 years old. And so I was kind of interested to see what it was like, because I've had interactions with, you know, 83-year-olds can be, you know, on the different end of the spectrum in terms of mental capability, communication skills. And when I share with you that this 83-year-old woman is bright, she's witty, she's sharp, she is, her mental capacity, like, I enjoyed speaking with her. Like, she's just a breath of fresh air. And she was like, hey, I'm not ready to slow down. She was like, you know, I'm starting to feel some aches and pains, and I'm just not at a place in my life that I'm ready to take a step back. She's 83 years old. And I will tell you that you can say all day, you know, it is 100%, and I firmly believe that it's God has a plan for us, right? And we don't know what our time is. But I'm going to tell you that I'm going to do everything in my power so that when I turn 83, I could get hit by a bus tomorrow, right? If that's in the cards and that's God's plan for me, then so be it. But if he has on the docket that I'm going to live to 83 years old, I'm going to do everything to take care of that body so I can serve the potential he put me here for. Right? Like, I want to be that 83-year-old, loving, witty, sharp, I'm not ready to stop living life woman in my office. And that is what and why I will take care of my health and put it as a priority every single day of my life, regardless. Right? So thanks so much for tuning in. I always appreciate it. Look forward to next time, but always remember that your power is on.